Hello and welcome to the Chatty Freelancer podcast graduate special. Over the next two episodes, I will be speaking to digital design graduates about life after uni, creative identity and finding their place in the industry. As always, expect lots of honesty, a lot of laughs and the occasional overshare. Whether you're a design student who's curious about what actually happens after graduation or a studio owner who could be really doing with a reality check about what grads are actually facing right now, then this one's for you. Welcome guys to the podcast, Mark, Megan and Craig. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to talk about uni, we're going to talk about industry. The first question for the both of you, is one word that sums up how you feel right now about leaving uni or semi-leaving uni.
I mean, halfway. to put it in your, like, the way you've introduced that. Yeah.
Megan?
Confused.
Nice.
Optimistic.
Optimistic. Mm-hmm. Very mixed bag, guys. Yeah. Very mixed bag. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of that later on. The first thing I want to do is reflect on your time here doing the digital design course. Yeah, can you talk to me a bit about how much you actually love this course? Because, yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, that's a good leading question.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, it's just in general, just like, was like really good fun. Like a lot of the modules we have are like just, like especially in like the second years, just like a lot of creative freedom and getting to choose what you want to do, which I think a lot of people like here would say like they enjoyed that quite a bit. And then yeah, it's just good people as well. It's like good
the
social.
The lecturers
group.
Were so good.
Oh, the lecturers as well.
The lecturers were my favorite part.
Yeah,
arguably, honestly,
the business.
Not so much.
Who's your favorite one?
Ooh, all of you can't take
for different reasons.
Yeah, that's
they're
a good
all great.
It,
yeah.
It's the team that makes it work.
Well, I'm glad that you all agree because it'd be so funny if like one of you was like,
not Dave.
I hated this. Yeah. It's my time here. Yeah. No, the fact you've came here makes me hopeful that you've got lovely things to say. So yeah, Mark, you said that you had one module where you could do, I quote, whatever the fuck you want.
Yes, uh-huh.
Can you talk to me a bit more about that, what that was?
Yeah, so it was introduced at the kind of the first term, I think it was, of fourth year. Mm-hmm. And essentially, Helen, who led it, was like, when you get a job, you won't get to do what you want. Like, anything you get a job, you'll have to do it for a client or your boss will want a certain thing done, and you won't get full creative freedom. So this is the time to do it. If you want to learn something, if you want to pick up a software or a skill you've not got to practice, go and do it. If there's just something you've always fancied trying your hand at, we don't care if you succeed. Like, we don't really care what the outcome is. Mm-hmm. It's all about the process of you learning to do it. Mm-hmm. I remember someone asking if they could do like a video project, and Helen's answer was something along the lines of, you can make something a vase out of fucking sticking plasters as long as you make it. And document your process. And that was quite a cool, like, because you're sitting going, maybe this, maybe that, I don't know if that would fit. And when she said that, I was like, oh, anything, like, everything's on the table for this. So it was quite cool kind of getting to figure out what you wanted to do then. And they're sitting going, like, oh, and when people presented them later, I remember the person beside me had done a whole thing on Photoshop, and I was like, oh, I probably should have learned more about Photoshop. This would have been a good chance to do that. But I've sat for 12 weeks. I decided I wanted to make movie props because I wanted to make like something from. I basically wanted to make a pizza box from like 1950s America. I don't really know why. I just wanted,
so
that was just like something. I was like, it'd be cool to make one of those like the kind of red and white checkered thing.
Yes,
that's what I wanted to make. So I found an excuse to do that, and I found a story that I could fit into 1950s America. And then also I wanted to make some kind of older stuff, so I also set some of it in like early 20th century France, and was just like making all these kind of like old French wine bottles, then Americana, just nonsense stuff. But it was the excuse to get to do this and to try it and be allowed to fail. And ultimately, I remember sitting making something. I wanted to look as authentic as possible, and I'd made like 12 different pizza box designs. And I was asking folk like which ones looked like the most real like crap design from back then. And Rebecca was like, oh, it's that one that says like Pizza America. And I was like, oh, but that's like shit. She was like, yeah, it would have been. Like it was 1950s American pizza shop. They wouldn't have hired a designer who knew what they were doing. They'd have got someone with nice handwriting to try and draw the Statue of Liberty. That's that one.
So
it was quite cool to kind of take the authenticity and be like, oh, I can get away with like intentional bad design.
Because that's what fixed this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was quite a nice excuse to just do this wide variety of stuff and to see what happened with it.
Amazing. What about you, Megan? Cool. What was the module that you enjoyed the most?
I don't even think I could pick one.
Yeah.
Mm. I think like that creative practice one was probably my favorite as well, honestly. Mm-hmm. For like the same reasons, just being able to like not really focus on what the outcome's going to be and just do what you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's been like your creativity is kind of at its best?
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah.
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that for me, that was the thing of going like, oh, this is an actual job in design. Like, it's given me a bit of an island. Like, yeah, that could be a thing you get to do. And I would never have got the chance to try it. I would never have thought of it otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mean, because I did see your thing at your degree show.
Yeah, cool. It was just a kind of furthering of that, of being like, well, how can I get this almost as least digital as possible?
Yeah.
But it was just a big, massive movie prop, because that's now that's the career I'm going to end up in.
Yeah.
And it's because they gave us the freedom to be like, literally just, you might as well try something. Mm-hmm. And that is quite often when your best stuff comes, because no one's saying, no, don't do that or stop that.
It's kind of
you were saying you were filming around Glasgow and there was too many roadworks, so you're sitting going, well, how do I change it? You have the power to change and do whatever you want.
Was
to
that
get
your
around
creative
it
practice?
Well.
It was originally supposed to be like what life in Glasgow's like, and there were just like so many restrictions coming in that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do one bus route and just like, I changed it to be more of like a focus on the little like architecture throughout this one bus route.
Yeah.
And like I just kind of did it on that instead and was like, you know what, this is, I'll just kind of go with it and see where this goes and
figure it out
along the way.
Yeah. I feel with like the creative practice, like I loved like the opportunity to like just try something. I feel like I kind of like chose like the wrong one in a sense. As much fun as I had with it, I was like, I was really planning on doing like some like HTML CSS for it to create like websites. But I ended up making like the poster book, right? And it was like, it was great, it was fun, but now I haven't been able to like dive into like more HTML, CSS, and I feel like that's sort of like waiting for me in the background. But so I made like a poster book of like it was on different like songs and stuff like that. I was just making like posters that sort of like reflected like either a part of the song or like the band or something like that. So it was like really good fun.
Yeah, that's me. I think I could agree, because like for my creative practice, I did a character brand development.
Uh-huh.
So like what a character like illustration, like I had an illustration in the course yet, and I was like, oh, creative practice, brilliant.
Yeah.
I could do some illustration, I can do whatever I want. And then you kind of naturally find your little thing. And I think that's what Vince said in the last episode as well, was just that helps you find your thing and kind of what you want to kind of pursue a little bit more, or what you're interested in. You just have fun with it.
Yeah.
You just have fun with
relaxed,
it.
Yeah.
Craig, you were saying like in class, you've got a few funny stories, or at least I think you are quite, like every time I came into class, like you're quite a big personality in a really good way. Like I feel like, it's good.
I mean, our entire section was just personalities.
Everybody was so like, full of beans, chaotic.
Yeah, the back of the room was, it was awful.
Yeah, it was. And there's one person I blame for it, it's just Vince. I just blame Vince. Now, on the flip side, he does blame me. But he did come into my class today, and immediately he just spawned in, and this very serious class turned into, he tried to turn it into chaos.
But that's like, so he's like, for your personal experience, do you feel like that made your uni?
Oh yeah, like just the different characters were like, it's like what makes like the social experience of it good, and you can just like sort of like bounce off people and stuff. It was like, really good.
Any crazy stories? Anything?
What can be told on podcast? I guess like me and Josh, we just always hit out with like, we just have like different football references for something, you know. I remember one day we had like, we were supposed to have like presentation day. And I think we got like halfway through the class by the end of the day, and then we had to come back. So we did like VAR, no presentation and stuff like that. I was just drawing that up in the walls. You know, I think we likened like the teachers to like football managers and stuff like that, you know. I think Dave was like Ange Postecoglou or something.
That's good, like, because I think the lectures are quite, like, they've got good banner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you just say, like, that, there was a
lot
Dave, of that?
Dave especially, with all football-related stuff, he would be digging me up, like, every week.
Yeah. What's your fondest memory?
Fondest memory? God.
A stick-out moment. Something you're like, oh,
It's hard to name one. That. It's hard to name one, because I feel like it's just like the collective sort of experience is brilliant. Yeah. Maybe I'd say, I think just like in general, like the events that we went to, I think the events that we were able to get to go to, like the Curios, like INTL and stuff like that, just brilliant, and I think they sort of like brought us together, you know, quite a bit mm-hmm. more. We got to bond over a little drink or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that came up a lot in the last episode. Yeah. Oh, yes. The pub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love the pub.
Yeah.
Love the pub.
Of course. Like the bit, I think, when you say that about fondest, I think the last day of third year, it was like a presentation day mm-hmm. down in Hydrogen in the city centre.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, we were all scheduled from like, say, 11 a.m. to like 3 p.m. And after you'd finished, we just went to the pub. We went to the Arc. It was like a proper like beer garden, last day of school sort of vibe.
Yeah.
And the crowd just grew and grew as you people finished presentations and then came in and went, well, that was a shit show. Or like, oh, that went really well. Or I did this. And you just clammed up and people were like, yeah, I don't know what happened in there.
Yeah. It's always like, it was great seeing like more and more people. I mean, I was at close end, but it was like the more and more people came in, it was like, you know, like, yes, we've done it, you know.
And then like Rebecca and Helen came down as well. I think Dave came as well. And it's just like a nice, they're like that where they can come and have a chat with you. They're still like, you know where the boundaries are.
Yeah.
But like they were able to sit and like, examine us all morning doing presentations and then still come down and be like, how did you feel that went today? And it was very nice.
Natural.
And like, yeah, homely kind of family.
They're not
going
to club with you.
Yeah, so it was really nice. Yeah.
Imagine Hill and Dave and Mary in the club.
Yeah, like, they always left at the right time. I think graduation day was the one time where Rebecca was like, I can stay out now, can't I? Like, I'm not connected to you anymore. But she went home safely and sensibly. Yeah. That's the
and then
party
all
line.
The craziness comes out when they go.
Yeah.
See, mine was more like the first day. Was really? My fondest because it was I feel like college was so stressful and I was going into uni thinking like, oh, this is going to be even more work, it's going to be even more difficult, mm-hmm. and then like the lectures were just so chilled out mm-hmm. that I was like, oh my god,
like that's one thing I'll say, like we were in the same college class. I think you did the same one that
yes,
we did.
Yes, mm-hmm. City Glasgow.
And it was great, but it was like three trimesters and what, like 9 months or something like that?
Yeah, it's quite
I feel like that was quite actually more stressful than university because you only had like 8 weeks to do 3 modules at a time.
Yeah.
That was, and especially when you're learning like new technology, like we did, our new software rather, like we're doing DaVinci Resolve and stuff like
that. Yeah, it was like all brand new.
Yeah, and even like we had 3D in that as well.
Yeah. I remember that in Maya.
Oh my
God. Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
That was... I mean, yeah, it is what it
listen
is.
Listen, absolutely tragic. So you would say that, like, your kind of pacing of the course was good, even though, like, obviously it's a lot of work. You're doing 3 modules, 2 semesters, 3 modules each, but they're hefty modules. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not like little projects.
Yeah. And especially like, I think it was easy in fourth year because it was like 2 modules with the honors project alongside.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and
yeah
so
that's true.
That
yeah.
sort of like. Eases you in a bit and doing like the dissertation, which is obviously, you know, great fun. Isn't it? Love that.
How did you cope with that? Because I honestly, it's like almost like a devil word when people say dissertation. Everyone's like, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Oh my god,
well, I definitely made the big mistake. I just wrote and wrote and wrote too much at the end.
That's a good problem I had.
Well, no, because you have to cut it down. So we had like 8,000 words limit.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Especially right now.
So 8,000 pounds to do
your dissertation. I'm just dreaming, you know. No, but 8,000 word limit, and I wrote like, I ended up having like double that, and I had to scale it down.
God.
And that was just, I think that was like one of the things that just sort of like messed me up a little bit in it.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Because it is a stressful thing. Like, I know it's not a stressful thing, but it is just like, what is what you make it? Like, it doesn't have to be that stressful.
It's when you leave, it's your timing, isn't it, really? And then I ended up, like, I love my dissertation. Like, I think people would talk about how it was like a devil word and how they're having a terrible time. And I was like, oh, yeah, me too. This is rough. But I love, because I was such a nerd for my topic, but I get so into it that I forgot about the design part of it. And that's what my supervisor kept bringing it back to, was like, you've got to do
design work.
Yeah, it's a design course. I was like, yeah, but what if I go research more and find out more? So that you need to stop at that point.
I was the opposite. I did all my design stuff and then got really close to the deadline. I was like, I need to start actually writing this.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a plan down, but I need to actually write now. I was just so focused on the design that I was like, yeah, the design's going to take so long. The writing I'll do so quickly. And then it was like, I need to write now.
Yeah. I mean, we all got through it in the end. So
it's all done now.
I think, you know, it's like, I'm sure like the 4 years now are just like stressing over it, but you know, I think when you'll get through it.
Yeah.
You get, literally, I haven't thought about dissertation since I did it. Can't remember what it was. So yeah, probably you'll feel the same in a couple of years' time. So let's move on now to sort of nitty gritty of the situation. Industry, you're in industry now, you're doing your master's though, yep. Craig. So what made you decide to do that other than going into industry?
So my plan was over the summer to get a job, mm-hmm. and I did have like a master's, it's a user experience and interaction design master's, mm-hmm. and it's kind of just like sort of like had that in my back pocket just in case I didn't get a job over the summer. And then the application process for trying to get a UX job was
hefty.
Yeah, it was a lot of rejection, a lot of just not fun.
How'd you cope with that? How did it make you feel? Sorry, it's like
really, especially because I wasn't getting like feedback. It was just like really like, what am I doing? So I kind of like, I would do it and then I'd just be like, I can't look at LinkedIn jobs anymore or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just need to like take a week away. I can't look at it. I still have like the email notifications coming in at the same time, but so that was like obviously not good. But then I get back in it. But I think I went to a thing in Barclays at the start of September. Mm-hmm. That was like supposed to be like part of the masters. And I just was like, yeah, it feels right. Mm-hmm. It feels right doing this now. So now I'm like 6 weeks in, 6 weeks left, a lot of work to do, 4 modules at once.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Good fun. Well, it's good fun. It's obviously like a lot of work and stressful, but like
you're still designing, which is good.
Yeah. It's what I want to do. So
good. But yeah, the rejection thing is tough. Have any of you to experience that since graduating?
And you go.
maybe like internal rejection. I've not even had the confidence to actually like.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's just. I don't know, it's hard to get into.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a lot of effort to push and push for all these job interviews and then hear nothing back. Mm-hmm. And it's like... Yeah.
It's quite demotivating, is that a word?
Yeah.
Demotivating.
No, what you mean.
Demotivating.
It's quite demotivating.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you're constantly grinding and trying to get something.
Yeah.
You've just graduated as well. It's a very big change.
Yeah.
Because, like, what is it you wanting to do, like, you're hoping to do? Like, what kind of jobs were you applying for?
Brand design,
junior digital designer, sort of things like that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, anything I can get.
Like, how is the job market looking? Like, have you noticed like any trends, like anything that's a bit worrying? Like,
no one's hiring. That's pretty worrying. No one's hiring you.
Yeah.
I think for a while after around about graduation or between we finished and graduation, I didn't apply for anything, mm-hmm. and it was my kind of jokey story was like, oh, I'm not applying for anything because I don't get rejected, so I feel good about myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd applied for one job, and there was a few of us from the course went for this one job. And then the day of graduation, I think we found out the day before graduation, like I found out I hadn't got it. So at graduation, I was like, so like, we know that 4 or 5 of us had interviews. Did you get it? No. Did you get it? And none of us had got it. So we spent the whole day going, well, we're all from this course and we're all different specialism. Yeah. What is it they're looking for? And we found out like a few weeks later on LinkedIn, the company said, we have hired this person.
Yeah.
And it was... As much as that could have been a bummer, a bit of me was like, they didn't not hire me, they hired him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a case of it wasn't that we weren't what they wanted, it was that he was what they wanted.
Yeah.
And I think I've tried to keep that mentality every time. It's like, I kind of heard some talk about like with like film auditions, like, yeah, they're nerve-wracking, but the people who are auditioning you, they want someone to get that role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not just doing it as a bit of a thing. They don't love spending that day. They're looking for the person that fits their team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just hasn't been sort of me yet.
Mm.
And I think that's where I'm kind of optimistic. Obviously, it's still a bit crap being essentially unemployed. Like, you get freelance gigs occasionally, and that's cool, but I don't want to be a freelancer long term. I want a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm kind of happy-ish doing that. But it was actually like through the summer, I would come into uni to work because they said you can keep in using the room kind of thing. No one else is using it during the summer.
Mm.
So I would come in and use it. And I spoke to Dave for one of the days, and he basically said, he was like, everyone's on holiday now. So see if someone puts up a job application. They're then going to Tenerife for 2 weeks. And see, when they come back, the boss who actually does the hiring, he's on holiday for a while. So really, it's not till September, things will start moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I've sort of noticed in the past couple of months, so it's like late October now, I think in the past month, 4 people from our course have got jobs.
Yes.
And it's and I've not been like gutted. Like, if you go for a job and someone else gets it or your pal gets it, you're kind of happy for them, but sad for yourself. But seeing them get jobs is making me go, oh, it might be my turn next.
Yeah.
And as much as it's like, crap, that's one more job that's gone that you didn't get, I don't even think I applied for the jobs that they got because they've got different specialisms.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's starting to happen now. So there's like 40 of us, 4 of us have got jobs. it'll be my turn soon enough, kind of thing, is the mentality.
Fantastic.
Well, that's what I keep doing, but despite that, I'm still getting rejected multiple times a day.
Yeah.
But you can only do what you can do, kind of thing about
how
it.
How do you not take it personally? How do you not let it affect you in a negative way?
Try not to think about it. Turn it off. That's what I do. Probably not the best thing to do. But yeah. I will say, like, definitely, like they were saying, like there's definitely feels like there's less jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember 2 years ago, before I actually started the uni course after college, I started applying for jobs. I got more then out of college than I did this summer out of university. And I just I remember just Indeed was like full of stuff, and there's like not much now.
Yeah,
that's quite scary.
Or junior roles that want 2 years experience.
We've talked about this. That blows me away, unless
and I guess they're part of like, well, there's a graduate role which is no experience then, but it's so annoying sitting going like, oh, so junior role, so 1 year of experience would be good, especially in the book industry. Who's got 1 year of experience in the book industry? Like how that's sport, or like a golf company. It's like, if you love golf, this is the best. I'm like, I don't know what sports are. So like, there's certain jobs that I've just now stopped going for. Because if I got there, like I almost got, I applied for a job and they phoned me saying, oh, maybe do you want to chat, but it's a bit far away, so would you be up for moving just before we put your application forward?
Mm-hmm.
It was for safety equipment for HGV lorries, and I was like, I don't know about cars. I couldn't chat to folk in the office when I get there. I don't know this world. So I think like there's a bit of you that just throws as much as you can at the wall. But then sometimes you're a bit more selective about the jobs because you're going, oh, that's a junior designer and it's for women's wear apparel. And I was like, I can't design women's clothes. Like, that's not going to be what I'm doing here. Because the women wouldn't wear the clothes.
I'd wear a top with a 1950s pizza box.
Yeah. That could be arranged.
Give me the pizza box.
I would 100% want to wear one of those.
That's not the company. These companies aren't making that kind of stuff. But it's just like, you get a bit more selective, and then 1 week you get unselective. And you apply for everything, and you troll LinkedIn, and you go to Indeed, and you try charityjobs.com, and you go to Design Kids. And then you go to Glassdoor, and there's so many sites that I don't know which one's the right. Because I've Googled, does Indeed work? Because I sort of don't believe it does. Because I've not actually had any interviews through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got that 2 years ago. So maybe it was working 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just not working now. Yeah. Do you think, so like, elephant in the room sort of thing, like AI is sort of there. Do you think that's having an effect on the amount of jobs? Do you get that impression? Like, how do you feel as newly designed students going into the industry and the sort of loomingness of AI, Megan?
I feel like it's more a focus on like junior positions because it's very like, I don't know, it feels like freelance work when you're kind of getting into it is very like little project here, little one here. And it feels like people are just going, well, just get an AI to do that instead.
Yep.
It's cheaper.
Yeah.
So it feels more difficult to get like people who are actually willing to pay a junior and like new graduates to do these
smaller
little projects.
Because they can get AI to do these
smaller
jobs.
It feels
jobs.
Like so many people are just going, well, I'll just get AI.
It's
like big companies doing it as well.
Yeah.
Right? There's like big game companies and like they'll be putting stuff in games that's entirely AI generated.
Yeah.
And just like putting it out there and being like, oh, we've got three fingers in one hand, five in the other.
Yeah
there you go.
Yeah.
Who cares? They're holding our lovely can.
Yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's obviously like, yeah, like you say, it's like the elephant in the room. It's probably the biggest like stumbling block.
Because you can hear like a lot of people are saying like, it's not coming for your jobs. Don't worry. Like, you know, learn to use it, etc. But I think you're right, Megan. Like, if there's like smaller tasks that usually would be delegated to a graduate who's just starting out, a junior who's just learning, who's getting their foot in the door. Usually you would do the smaller projects, smaller jobs, sort of things like, you know, artworking or, you know, using templates and designing things that are coming through. But you can get AI to do that.
Yeah, I think that for a while the applications were saying that you need to be AI ready. So be playing with it. I didn't apply for a job this morning because it wanted someone who could do AI driven motion work. And I was like, AI driven is, you want me to you want me to just write prompts for, if it's AI driven, AI's doing the work there.
I've noticed that with job applications
as
well.
That was a new phrase to me this morning. I didn't like that.
The descriptions have just suddenly, they've all just got AI in them.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
it's always at the bottom because they've just added it on at the end.
Just have to chuck in. Like, I love AI.
You can use AI.
Yeah.
It feels like they're all just kind of throwing it in there to be like, here we go. Just shove AI in there.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, obviously, like, you kind of, I think there's like different types of AI that we can talk about. We can talk about like generative AI in terms of generating image and video. I think the one thing it's good for is actually research. I think it's actually good is like you can use ChatGPT to like find stuff, like find like sources and
stuff.
I mean,
I won't lie, I use ChatGPT. Yeah. I genuinely do. Yeah. Like, see, for like my gathering my thoughts or like if I've got notes and to organize them better. Like, but in terms of that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that's an ethical use case. I think when you're just taking images that have been randomly posted to like by artists and stuff, you're putting them into an AI and that's spitting out essentially references of their work.
It's that's the thing. It says like it's a generator, but it's like it's not making that. It's just taking other people's work and putting it together and giving you that.
Like, even like people like us who are looking for like wee freelance jobs, like I'm building a website for a guy in my work now, just because he's got a wee club thing. But like my pal texted the other day saying he was going to do, he had a client, he was doing stuff, and then the guy said, "Oh, never mind the logo, I've got it done."
Yeah.
And like those wee jobs, like the companies that are starting out, and like I know loads of folk who have done it who are like starting a wee company, so they're starting a cafe, they're starting a whatever sportswear brand, they just get an AI logo and they're happy with it. And that like hats off to you, fair enough. But then that does a bit of a takeaway of a job for us. But it takes a bit of experience or something for our portfolio.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
where I'm like, not the AI's taking your job. But these wee bitty jobs that they would have paid me £25 for and I'd have been happy to have it.
Yeah.
They've just saved £25. But they've not put in the effort and you're sitting going, but your brand's not got, to us, the brand's not got the story.
Yeah.
It's not got a tagline. You've got a logo, you've not got a brand.
Yeah, it's not a transparent PNG.
Which matters to us. And they don't care. They think they want a logo. Whereas we've been taught and we've learned, you don't want a logo, you want a full brand.
Yeah.
You want the full kit and caboodle of what your mission is and what your taglines are going to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas you've just got like a golf flag with your face on it, and that's that's what you thought you wanted.
Yeah, it's like trying to convince them that you're worth the money rather than just being like it's an investment.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
It's longevity. You know, you're paying this £1,000 now, but it's gonna last you for at least a couple of years, 3 years.
Yeah, and it would mean more because you've got more of an input than you wrote a sentence and you're like, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying about like people for the background work, like I heard someone talk about like as co-piloting, using it for all these like to organise your schedule or to put copy together for something as well. And it's like, there's loads of uses that it can be used well.
Yeah.
And there's like a guy in our course who has all the best arguments against it. And I was always just like, if the conversation came up, I'd be like, Patrick, can you just answer these questions? Because I'm very like kind of blissfully ignorant of it. Like it is what it is, but I'm doing what I'm doing, and
that's it.
I know I have to learn about it soon, but I've got other things up on my priority list. Like I want to get better at certain bits in motion, or I want to learn more about Photoshop, and then AI is on that list, but it's just fairly low down for me currently.
Ever introduce it into like uni courses, like? For example, the digital design course, do you think they'd ever introduce AI?
Partially already have. Well, yeah, not like 100%. Like there's we do have in the masters just now, we have like a visual design one. And it got mentioned, and we've got three different briefs for like an energy company. And one of them specifically mentioned an AI-driven energy assistant, which is actually the one I'm doing. So there's a little bit of that like coming in now. I think it was just like one of like three examples that, you know, the company probably ChatGPT did it and something like that, you know what I mean?
The AI told you to use AI.
The AI told you to use AI,
So Terminator stuff.
But I'm having to have a little look at like what are the use cases for AI within like the energy sector and stuff like that. So, you know.
It's like almost gonna become unavoidable, I think.
Yes. And I think like Dave said, when we're doing the dissertation and someone's like, see if English isn't your first language, write your dissertation in your first language. Then get an AI tool to translate it. Like, that's fair, because English isn't your first language, you're at a disadvantage and no one else is that. AI can help you to do that, as long as you read through it afterwards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my kind of one experiment with it, which went totally wrong, which I loved because I was like, man, I was right, was I tried to do research with it. So I was looking up a thing just about ethics for my dissertation. So I said to ChatGPT, I was like, could you find me a book on ethics that mentions this topic? I was like, yep, here it goes. I was like, cool, found it. Looked it up in the uni library, the book doesn't exist.
I had that happen.
So went back
to
ChatGPT, I was like, that book doesn't exist. Can you give me another one? And ChatGPT was like, oh, because you know it's all your pals. I was like, oh, sorry about that. Here's three more that do exist.
Yeah.
None of them existed. So I'm like, apparently you've got the internet at your like behest through this AI tool, but it's making stuff up.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm like, I don't fully trust you for research. The Google overview tells you something that you go on the website and it just took one paragraph out of 17 and it was a lie. So after that, I'm like, it's not ready. to do that, it can access apparently all of the library websites, at least their sources, you'd think, or their catalogues, maybe not the book itself, but it makes it up. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm looking for from
it just shows you.
I have that with sources.
Just always look through the sources. Yeah. Just always look through them if you're going to use that.
Like, yeah, it could be a lie.
yeah, a total lie.
Yeah, because I'd used it for my dissertation, trying to look for sources, and it'd be like, yep, here's these ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me look these up. Couldn't find any of them. And I was like, all right, well, I can't use any of that stuff now.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. That was like, I was doing like a schedule or something, and it was like giving me the dates and the days. And I was like, the third's not a Wednesday. And then it would be like, oh yeah, sorry.
Exactly, because your pal has made
the boo-boo. They changed their calendar date. Yeah. And I was like, oh yes, it's not reliable. And
no.
In that's any sense, I don't think. Like, it's a difficult conversation because, I use it in my day-to-day when I'm working with clients in a certain capacity. But, like for example, see Photoshop image extension.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
was really
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I've used that for, just for pitch stuff. Like, this is how it would look, because if I wanted to photograph a room and I wanted to put a chair in it, I can't go and do it, but it was great for that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. If it was, like, an image isn't like wide enough for a banner or like a certain format, you can just went up. Image extend
you can,
that.
You can just like AI remove stuff as well. Like, I had a friend who was he does like VR stuff.
Yeah.
And he was making this like VR world, and he just like sent me this image, and he just said, "Can you just like delete the trees?" And I was just like,
"Sure,
please delete the trees."
Yeah,
trees are gone.
It's so frustrating. It's just like a catch 22 in a way. It's like, oh, it's so helpful at times, but. And then sometimes it's like, oh, do you know what it is? I think it's like if you're using it correctly, like for example, that person using it to make a logo.
Yeah.
Bad. But like hiring a designer who maybe has some knowledge of like using those tools on Photoshop, Illustrator.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great.
Yeah.
But they're still hired. They're still getting paid. They're still doing their job. Mm-hmm. It's not taken away from AI. I really feel like it should help us work less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, earn more, earn the same. That's the other thing. That's the other conversation. You're doing your job quicker, could pay you less. No.
Mm-hmm. No, that's still doing the job.
Context of it.
Yeah.
But you pay for that. You pay for the logo. You know, like you'll see, like companies will pay. Like I think Meta paid like $1 billion for their logo and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you're paying for the knowledge.
Yeah, you're paying for the knowledge. Yeah. You're paying for the research and stuff.
We know this.
Yeah. We know exactly.
Yeah. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, literally.
That's why you're paying me.
Yeah. Blood, sweat, and bloody tears. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So Megan, what kind of projects have you done? Like out of uni or like in uni, because I think you've spoken about Brandon before.
Yeah, I did a logo for a record company recently. Nice. That was quite fun.
Nice. It was quite good. How did that come around? Like, how did you get that?
It was someone I know messaged me and was like, I know that you do this. I got this record company starting up. Like, would you want to do this? Like, you want to do this logo for me? And I was like, absolutely, I would.
Brilliant. And it went well?
It went very well.
Happy client?
Yep. Happy. Very happy client.
Well, that's a good show.
That's so good to know.
Yeah.
That's really, really good to know because... Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of clients can sometimes just like oh yeah, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
Loved working. Yeah, thanks, but like they're really appreciative and hopefully you can
come back.
It's refreshing.
It can be quite challenging sometimes. Have you had any experiences with difficult clients? Any terrible times?
I had a project fall through.
Oh, no.
But I don't know that I should say too much.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, some things don't need to be shared publicly. Yeah. But it's difficult clients are very...
Yeah, I got hard to... knocked back recently for a guy. It was like someone who wanted me to do work, but it was for their client.
Yeah.
And they'd seen my stuff and they basically said to him, in as polite a way as possible, he was more honest. He was like, they basically said, if you get anything that's not as fun and colourful, they were like, if you get any boring work you can show us to show us you're capable of making a more corporate logo.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. So I put together like a 30-second show of like boring work I'd done. Because they were like a car dealership in France. They wanted something boring. And I was like, I can do boring.
Can you just like Poppins or Ariel?
Yeah. Thank you. Then they stuck with what they had. They were like, but never mind, I'm not going to go back to that guy. Yeah. But what a great reason to get rejected. They were just like, this guy's too interesting. too many colours. We don't want pink at all.
Just too cool for them.
Yeah.
You know?
But then that guy, when he wanted something a while later, he was like, I know you can do this. So he came, like the middleman came back. I was like, oh, that's cool. So that's now a thing with a relationship with him. That's what came out of it.
Yeah.
It was quite a funny thing. I was like, I'm looking for this. And he's like, they've just said, not that, not him. Just don't do it.
So.
That was a fun one.
Can I have a backhanded compliment?
Yeah, I took it as a
mm-hmm. yeah, as much take as I could. Yeah,
absolutely. So moving on then to the most important question of the podcast, which is the renowned movie and pie. Oh,
I thought you were offered a job there.
Would you like a job? Yes, so your movie of the week or your favourite movie and the tastiest pie they've ever had. I ask all my guests this because why the hell not? Mm-hmm. Who wants to go first?
Oh, I've been thinking about this pie question for a long time. I don't know the answer. I'll start with the movie. Like, my favourite movie, I would say it's Kill Bill. Ooh. I love Kill Bill.
I've never seen Kill Bill.
Really?
I haven't either.
Which is shocking. You're the film person? You
yeah.
literally have a question
have
called
never
movie
seen
and
Kill Bill.
You've never seen Kill Bill? Oh,
yeah, because I remember I watched Pulp Fiction when I was like 15 and I was like, this is brilliant. And I just went through like the Tarantino catalogue. And it was like something about like his sort of films that I just love. But like Kill Bill sort of like sticks out because it's less dialogue, more action.
Yes.
And he's obviously the dialogue guy. Mm-hmm. But it just comes across like, oh, it's such a fun
I
movie. I highly
it.
Recommend it.
I didn't even watch it.
Oh God, now my favourite
pie.
Yeah, pie! Oh God. Do you want maybe a mince round?
A mince round specifically, yeah. Not a mince pie. A mince
no, a mince round. Because I just
like
remember.
A Scotch pie.
No, like it's like a.
It's bigger than a.
Big oh. pie. Big
it's
pie.
It's like a dinner pie. Like every
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Pie,
yeah.
A bit,
yeah.
Right,
oh.
Okay.
My nana used to get them.
Yeah,
all.
My mum used to make them all the time.
I've never seen one.
It's like an old yeah. person thing, I think.
Yeah, that's I mean,
they're yummy.
You call me old?
No, it comes from like that's the only yeah. reason why I know about mince
yeah.
round.
Yeah.
From my nana. It's, oh, that was her like go-to Friday night dinner. Mince round and some tots.
Nah, it was. Yeah. It's really good. I don't really eat pies that much nowadays.
Mince round's good though. So, there you go. Good. What about you,
yeah.
Megan?
Movie
pie.
Oh. All like movies have just gone out of my brain. I mean, I have to say mince pie now or Scotch pies.
Scotch pies.
They're my yeah. favourite.
Do you like
God
a Scotch
movie.
Pie with brown sauce?
Yes, brown sauce
brown
always.
Brown sauce. Oh no.
Hey, brown
it's
sauce.
Good.
Brown sauce.
Brown sauce is the best on it, but like what? Brown sauce is if it's gravy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Come on.
I feel like people say they like brown sauce are just pretending. I don't know.
It's not.
How?
I don't know.
But, like you're all in the pocket of big HP.
No, I'm just pretending. No, chippy brown sauce. It's a little bit lighter and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Movie. Come on, you must have a movie that you either watch all the time. It's October, so is there a movie that you watch at this time of year?
Oh, the Scream movies.
Scream movies, oh. Nice.
Yeah, Halloween time.
Right, actually, yeah.
I've not seen the newest one though.
No, me neither.
I still there's yeah. no.
There's like seven?
No, Sydney. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. not more than seven.
No Sydney in there.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney?
No, Sydney, the main.
Oh,
main
sorry. I was like, yeah. Yeah.
Campbell,
yeah.
Campbell that's her name.
I think I've only seen like one
yeah,
of them.
Yeah. I think I was just putting it off because I was like,
no
she's
Sydney.
The main girl.
She
what are you
is
talking
the main
about?
Girl. We watched the first one actually the other night.
They're so good.
It is funny. And the guy, what's his name? The guy that plays Shaggy.
Oh, Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, Matthew
yes.
Lillard.
Yeah.
He's great. He's so good.
Brilliant in
yeah,
that.
He is.
Isn't the guy who plays Fred in one of them as well? Oh, what's his name again?
Prince Jr.
Is he not
he's
in
He's in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's in.
Is he not in some horror movie?
He probably yeah, is, actually.
Probably.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. That's the horror movie.
Is
yeah,
that horror movie?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm
not sure what we're talking about.
Let's see Michelle Geller in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
that is the one. No, sorry, that is the one then. I forgot the name of it, but yeah.
But Scream Good.
Scream is such a good movie.
Mark.
That's a good shout.
You're the movie man.
I'm the movie man. I recently, because it was the 30th anniversary of GoldenEye, so I went to the cinema to watch
nice.
That, and that was like
cinema.
It was in the cinema.
An experience.
And it was like the that was our like Pierce Brosnan was my Bond growing up.
Yeah.
And just like such a mad like forget Alan Cumming is in it and Famke Janssen.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah. I am invincible. Like, yeah, such a good Bond film. It's before Bond got all serious and all that, and he's still like not the politest to women, which isn't ideal. But like full tilt gadgets and explosions and. It's just an amazing romp.
He is very sexist, James Bond.
Oh, he's terribly sexist.
He is
like,
so misogynist.
See if you read
like,
the books, it's awful.
Like, see,
I don't
the
think
Sean
I ever
Connery
even
ones.
Noticed that.
Oh, is it bad?
Yeah. Not go
maybe I've
not
watched
seen, like, the old ones like Dr. No and he's just like casually hits a woman and then she'll be like, I'll still sleep with
I think
you.
I've only seen a couple of the...
crazy, yeah, levels of misogyny.
I've only seen like a couple of Daniel Craig ones.
No.
Those movies.
Yeah.
New Daniel Craig
ones. The new
ones,
yeah. What's even happening? Did they not like kill him or something?
I think he's dead. Yeah. I've not seen them. Spoiler. It got too serious, and then there was no misogyny, so I was just like, why am I watching this at all? Like, just absolutely. That is not true.
Yeah, the action.
Yeah.
I did notice this because we were watching some Sean Connery ones, like From Russia with Love.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh, Lord.
Sean Connery is not a good person for women,
I think he is. This really came to fruition really recently, and I'm like, that's really quite sad.
I'd recommend them. Like, good as a general watch if you're aware of them of the time, but probably for the best. But I think with the new ones, they got so serious. I agree they should have cut out all of that mistreating women. But then there was like hardly any gadgets, hardly any fun, and it was all very, it was just a big sad old man.
James Bond is quite silly.
Yeah, it's meant to be camp.
It is silly.
It's meant to be very camp
and
self-aware, and it just got a bit
sad. So, good choice.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. It's a good film, but I recommend
it.
So this might be controversial, because I have obviously listened to previous ones. Does a steak bake count? Or is that not a pie?
That's cool. Not a pie.
A hangover steak bake was the initial answer. The only hungover they hit the spot. But then, like, it's not quite that time yet, but seeing known mince pies are coming, like, mince pies, Christmas mince pies, not a mince round. The mince pies are coming. It's like, I'm excited for them coming, but, like, not till December. You can't have one till December, then you can eat one a day. That's worth the 11-month wait for me.
Outside of December, it's just illegal to eat mince pies.
You're the only person to pick a pie that I don't like.
You're not a mince pie gal? What's the issue with
raisins.
It?
Raisins.
What's wrong with raisins? They're currently my favourite.
They're like bits of skin.
Your current joke for you. They're like bits of skin.
Oh my god.
Thumbs up your skin, man.
I look at them and I think skin.
Yeah, I know what she means.
I think you both need to go to the doctor. No, a mince pie's amazing. Just as a wee, like, you buy a pack of six and it lasts you a day. Like, oh, so good. Have one and then you're like, well, the bottom. Yeah, no.
Oh, I can only have one.
Really?
And then I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
Because then the texture does start getting...
See, like, fruit pudding and that, boggin.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, what do you call it, that big cake that you get
Christmas pudding?
Oh, Christmas pudding.
Yeah, that's it. No, don't agree with that. No, not all Christmas
pudding. Don't agree with it.
It's too heavy. It's too heavy.
Aye, but just raisins, man. But, yeah. Fair choice.
Enough. I didn't know I could be told no on the movie. In
No, you can have your choice, but it's the first one I'm like.
Oh, there you go. That's fair enough. Well,
yeah, I don't know what it is about them, but maybe I need to try one just to make sure that I'm telling the truth.
Yeah. Soon. You got a month and a half to wait.
So fantastic choices, guys.
Thank you.
We're heading towards the end now, and I want to ask you guys about looking forward, looking ahead in the next year. Sort of, where do you see yourself going, doing? Might not even be design, could be something completely different, I don't know. But you're obviously doing your master's, so you'll be concentrating on that. What are you, like, what are you guys thinking and feeling for the next year?
I just want to get through this, currently. You know, just get the other side and get a job. It's like the main thing. I mean, I have a big break. It's like, I think like 2 months or something we get in between trimesters.
Oh.
So I definitely, because over the summer I tried doing some music creation.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to get back into that. It's just I don't have the time at the moment. It's like kind of hard to like find time, so I'll probably spend that 2 months sort of like doing that sort of stuff and doing more fun stuff, like maybe more posters and stuff. But yeah, honestly, just in general, getting through this master's is just like my full focus at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you thinking next year?
I'm honestly not like 100% sure. I'm going to give a bit more effort into the freelance stuff to see if I can get anywhere with that. But then... Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm learning to drive. I'm like, get the license, and that'll open up more doors, hopefully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've like got an interest in the music industry as well, so I'm going to see if I can kind of do design stuff with the music, see where that goes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with a record company as well, I can do more work for them.
Yeah, album work, you know, like posters, posters and things.
I'd love to get into that.
Yeah. Should you speak to Zoe Harkins? Who graduated the year before you.
I know the one.
So I think she's done a few work for bands and things. So she's definitely one to talk
to. Get that
to.
Name from you.
Yeah, I'll send her. Her work's incredible.
Yeah.
She's an illustrator. I'm just throwing cards at you. But no, she's great. She might be someone worth speaking to, just like how to like get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a cool one.
Mark.
There you go. I just like to get a job. Like, I've got one or two wee freelance things that are quite nice, but to me it's like I want to get that freelance job so they can say, oh, you were good, we'll bring you back on.
Yeah.
And it becomes, because I want to keep learning, I want a junior role.
Do you want to do design for film?
Yes.
As
a job? Long term I do. Like, I'd like to get into graphic props for film. I applied for a motion graphics master's actually, then the course didn't run, so that kind of went in the bin, sadly.
Damn.
But I'm sort of applying everywhere and anywhere, and I think like I'm going to end up, this is me manifesting, if that's the thing, it's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to end up in graphic film somehow. Like, mm-hmm. I've done Annie Atkins' workshop. I love her and everything she touches.
Yeah.
I love the whole motion graphics in films and watching stuff and being like, oh, that's cool. And I'll like, email, find the designers on IMDb and email them saying, hey, have you got any work? And that's a thing that you do, apparently.
Oh.
But I kind of want to just get a bit of an actual graphic design career for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, be a motion designer or be a graphic designer for a company for like 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
To get that grounded behind me, mm-hmm. to get some money behind me, and to have like a bit of a stable life, because the film industry is not a stable life. It's all freelance work. It's all wee jobs. Then you're on a TV show, then it ends, or you're on a film.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to just get myself on the straight and narrow, and then nice. Be like, now I've got all that. Plus I've then got references and more projects that are real world and real life clients mm-hmm. that I can
awesome.
Talk to as well. So that's the aim, is to get. Like I've said this for going through uni. I want to get a job. Then I'm going to get a job I like. That's the plan.
Yeah. Some experience. Well, good luck with everything.
Thank
I've got one
much.
Last question for you before you head off. Unless mm-hmm. there's anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to talk about, this is your chance to talk about it.
I don't think so.
We covered everything pretty well.
Feels good not asking you things back, but that's not the point.
Oh, that's not the point. But last question before we wrap up. What piece of advice would you give to your former fresher self? The person who is starting their design student journey, what would you say to them?
I'd just say yes. That's like my main thing.
say yes to things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more into that. I mean, this is a start.
Yes,
I was I need to just say yes to
and
things.
And you've been coming to the Creative Days Out, which have been really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, that Emma was like, and Rachel coming to them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big push. I was like, I need to just start saying yes to things.
And just even just like speaking to people, networking mm-hmm. and things like that. So,
I think that is that, like, they always say, like, fake it till you make it. I think mm-hmm. roll with that, you know? Just like, even if you're not, like, confident with stuff at the moment, just, like, force yourself to do it. Like, mm-hmm. like she's saying, like, just say yes and just, like, you know, just believe that everything's going to be okay
mm-hmm.
and then you'll get through any sort of, like, project.
Love
it. Yeah. I think for me it's, like, go to everything that you want to go to.
Mm.
Like, see, go to events and figure out which ones are for you and aren't for you. And figuring out whether your place is like Instagram or real life or LinkedIn, but you only find out by trying stuff, mm. going to things, meeting people.
Yeah.
Like I started talking to you at the Christmas, like beer
yes,
and pizza.
In third year at this. Yeah.
And that night I also met Martin Both from Imaginary Friends.
Yes. Yep.
Who like, it was just like everyone left and I was like stuck with him and the guy who was like the head of the department at the time. But everyone was gone and I just got a pint. But now I like know him.
Yeah.
And he's like, he runs a studio in Glasgow. And it makes you feel much more comfortable going to like gabs and going to curios and coming to things.
Yeah.
And it's not like there's that person, that's that.
Yeah.
You know their name, they're just a normal person in your orbit now. And it might come in handy one day, or you might learn something from them. Like,
they might show something.
Yeah. And you're not always mm-hmm. doing it for that like networking idea.
Yeah.
As much as it feels like that, once you're over that hump and you're just like, mm-hmm. just talking to folk. Because everyone's dead sound and supportive, but you only find out by going and seeing what's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe 2-3 a month isn't for you, mm-hmm. or maybe specific ones aren't. Feel like I went to Unknown Errors, it was amazing. I went to another event recently, I was like, oh, this one's not for me as much. That's good to know.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. maybe the next one will be, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's trying it and saying yes to to go to events. That's really made a difference mm-hmm. for me, I think.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Good luck with everything and don't be strangers. I know you won't be. I'll probably speak to you soon. But thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of the Graduate Special. Thank you to Mark, Craig and Megan for chatting with me. If you haven't already, check out part 1. And if you've listened to this, thank you so much. It's been a lovely refresher back into the podcast world. And I hope that I can continue it in the new year, but making absolutely no promises. But in the meantime, you can listen to more episodes of my podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and I'll chat with you soon.